ABC AFL Daily is the best conversation in footy. Hosted by Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron, alongside regulars like Mick Malthouse.
I mean, I don't remember too many games, but it's one of the ones I remembered. It was just that physical.
Bob Murphy.
Where do you guys get off thinking you can pick and choose?
And more, it keeps you in the loop with the biggest stories in the AFL and the number one analysis in the game. ABC AFL Daily, 5 eps a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The stars have showed up at this World Cup, and Harry Kane steps up in the biggest moment. The weight of the three lions on the crest, and time again, he's the man that steps up and delivers the goods.
Harry Kane bailing England out against DR Congo this morning, and the commentators bang on. It's just the most recent example of a star shining at this tournament. Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi, Erling Haaland, Kane, they're all flying. And it might seem obvious that the best players are doing well on the biggest stage, but history says it doesn't always work like that. And a largely United States event in the land of the individual kind of makes sense that the individuals are doing their thing. So, who is it that's going to stand on top when this tournament runs its course? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Neve Owens is the host of SBS's World Cup coverage. Neve, I have this mate who takes leave during World Cups just to watch all the games. You do it for a job. It's glamorous. It's a lot, though. How are you coping with the sleep deprivation and the workload, man?
I love that you've worked in TV and you still call it glamorous, because I always think of TV as kind of the least glamorous thing. There's this shiny end product, but there's so much, you know, that happens before that and outside of that that is the absolute antithesis of glamour. I took a screenshot of my alarm last night, which went off at 10:45 p.m. So I left work on... Oh, Stacky, I'm losing track of the day. Say Wednesday. Correct me if I'm wrong. I left work on Wednesday. I got back to work before midnight on Wednesday. And we looked at the England-Congo DR game. So there's kind of these wild elements that just outside of tournament football, you'd be like, well, that's not okay. That's nothing could be worth that. And then you get into the heart of a tournament and you lean into the vortex and it just delivers on so many fronts. And the glamour bit comes from these blokes that we are watching at the absolute pinnacle of their game, who are delivering in so many different ways out on the paddock and make you forget about the 11 p.m. alarm.
It sounds as though you're really earning your pay packet, but the fact that you have watched so much football is why we want you today, because we need you to break down why the stars of this competition mostly are shining so bright, because it feels right now as though there's a big five: Mbappe, Messi, Haaland, Kane, Ronaldo. And it is kind of perfect that in the land of the individual, the United States of America, by and large, the big names are flying, Nevo.
They are, aren't they? And it has been so wonderful to see. And they're flying in really different ways for each of their countries. I mean, you look at previous World Cup stackies and six goals on average is kind of enough to win you the golden boot at a World Cup traditionally. These blokes, Mbappe, Messi, they have six goals already. Mbappe has six goals through 2.5 games of football. And early on in the tournament, I was sitting having a yarn with Harry Kuehl, which I love being able to say that, by the way.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the quality of goalkeepers and whether we're seeing a little bit of a shift from the stars and that superstar nine and that out-and-out striker, and the way that we're playing football is changing and the creative outlets are changing, and up steps these incredible blokes in goal doing amazing things early in the tournament. And that storyline continues, and we've seen the penalty shootouts. But alongside that, we're seeing this attacking talent who operate in very different ways within their national sides, but have an ability to find the back of the net, which you ask any footballer, that is not an easy skill. That is not an easy thing to do. These guys have a way of making it look easy.
in an age of robotic team-first answers, I was kind of intrigued to see Harry Kane earlier in the tournament speak to the reality that he is being spurred on by some of the things that he's seeing from other brilliant players.
And I think as a striker myself, obviously I want to get on the score sheet as early as possible. So I think in the back of my mind, that competition helps me to push my levels. You know, that's what the World Cup's for the best players to perform at the highest level. So it's nice to get a couple today for sure.
Is that kind of fascinating to you as well, Nevo?
I love that they admit it as well. You know how sometimes different sports, and especially here in Australia, they kind of, we're only looking at ourselves, Jackie. We're taking it one game at a time. We're not looking too far ahead. I love that he really owned that, yeah, they're aware of the golden boot standings and exactly who's doing what to whom where. And Harry Kane, the questions around that English side and their resilience on one player have been there for years. I feel like it's next level at this World Cup. What is England without Harry Kane? 5 goals in 4 games. He's got those 13 career World Cup goals. He's England's all-time top World Cup scorer. He's broken that record, Gary Lineker's record, at this tournament.
Sorry, Gary. One ahead of you now. But
his instinct in front of goal, that pure finishing ability is elite. That second goal we saw this morning against DR Congo was world class.
England manager Thomas Tuchel actually spoke about Kane being spurred on by the other big dogs and what the group have in common, and he said,
"They're all sharks. They're all sharks. If they smell blood, they come and score."
Do you think any one of them carries more pressure and more scrutiny than Harry Kane in that England shirt?
It's such a good question, Saki, because I think Kevin Prince-Boateng on our coverage this morning said England without Harry Kane is like fish without chips, like the two just can't exist without each other. But then you look at Lionel Messi and what he does within this Argentinian side and what he has done for so long, and you speak to Argentina fans who are over there at the moment and are just experiencing such joy at seeing him at the top of his game, at the top of the world game again, how special that is. I feel something akin to that watching Lionel Messi, even from this distance, even with no Argentinian heritage. And I think you can have him in that same conversation as well. I look at what he does for Argentina, the way he uses his body, the way the team is set up to support him. I mean, they effectively defend, don't they, with 9 outfield players. He has this ability to deceive defences. He kind of feigns one way and then all of a sudden he's gone the other and there's space there and you don't know where the space has come from. Similar to Harry Kane, his level of control over where that ball goes, where that ball ends up, is actually insane.
To hear Kylian Mbappe asked about who he sees as the best out there.
The best of the 4 players?
Yeah.
Lionel Messi. It's clear. He's the best of the best in the world with Cristiano. It's clear.
He is a fascinating one as well in his own right. I love that there's a meme about him being a dictator that's just getting bigger and bigger, like the idea that he's in control at international and club level on and off the pitch. He even sort of embraced it in one of his post-goal celebrations against Sweden. This is a guy who had a, by his standards, pretty disastrous season with Real Madrid. We saw the French manager, Didier Deschamps, speaking to the quality that he has brung as French captain, bowing down to him as he came off the pitch against Sweden. How do you think that he's been able to flick the switch? Because it's not like he doesn't have a lot of talent around him at Real Madrid, but as you sort of highlighted, 6 goals to this point. I think he's got 2 assists as well. He's looked next level.
Yeah, he sure has. And how much that has to do with that attacking talent around him, with that unit, that it actually really feels like this French side, and we haven't always been able to say that, it really feels like this French side are a unit at this World Cup. And you saw Kylian Mbappe celebrate with Didier Deschamps, and obviously with Deschamps' mum dying during the World Cup and he went back home for his funeral, there's the extra emotional element to that as well. It also feels like Deschamps, in his last international tournament as manager of France, has taken that handbrake off. He's allowing them to play and to use those attacking riches that they have. I've loved watching Kylian Mbappe at this World Cup. I mean, he blew my mind in 2022. He just crafts goals as well as scoring them, and his work rate off the ball is insane, which doesn't really match up with that dictator kind of status that we sometimes lay on him. The runs that he makes, I reckon he makes four runs for every one that ends with him with the ball at his feet. And then, Saki, he just has this touch to die for. That final touch that you watch full defenders every time, they kind of wait and wait. They hold that tackle until they think he's about to pull the trigger. And then he takes one last touch that leaves them looking like fools. And he has that ability to guide at home. Whether Michael Elise and his incredible form contributes to that enormously, watching the two of them, watching that connection, I mean, Dembele is in there as well, but it's the kind of French side that makes you wish you were French. And we haven't always been able to say that about this group of players in tournament football in the past.
Elise again, and Dembele, and Mbappe! Star after French star. How they twinkle!
I think Kylian Mbappe is just a sight, isn't he, to behold. Won the Golden Boot in 2022 with 8 goals. That matched Ronaldo's haul from 2002 of 8 goals. And this time round, him, Messi, Haaland, who we haven't even mentioned yet, they're going to continue that run deep.
Let's get into the Viking. Erling Haaland, about to see him go head-to-head with Vinicius Jr., who you could almost make an argument deserves to be in the group that we're talking about, given what he's done with Brazil. But on Haaland, I feel like because Man City has been the big bad, apologies to City fans out there, Haaland has become something of a supervillain at club level, you know, the biggest bad within the big bad. Like, has this run with Norway, a nation of 5.6 million people who row a metaphorical imaginary Viking boat, has it allowed us to fall in love with Erling Haaland?
Oh, it's allowed me to. I don't know about everyone else. I would love to hear what everyone else thinks. But part of that for me is seeing what he does off the park as well as on it. Him joining in with the Viking row in the way that he does, that pure delight that he brings to his football. And then, I mean, he rocks around on his day off in a cowboy hat, boots, and a shirt that says, "Y'all can kiss my Dallas." I mean, this is a guy who has aura, doesn't he? We've seen it in the Prem, fastest ever to 100 Premier League goals. His numbers are actually mind-blowing. 60 goals in 53 seasons. Senior internationals. He averages a goal every 72 minutes.
I don't know. I think it's my speciality to score goals. It's like many other things. I'm just really good at scoring goals, and I'm quite lucky. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but that's just how it is.
We've spoken about these absolute icons of world football. Well, Erling Haaland's strike rate stands alone. And you look at even just his past 13 internationals for Norway, he's scored in every single one of them. He's scored 25 goals in that run. And we hadn't had that ability. As you've articulated, we haven't really seen him do it on the world stage because Norway hadn't qualified for a major tournament in his time. It's been 28 years since they were at a World Cup. Now, I was frothing over the prospect of that Mbappe v Haaland group matchup. That was denied us, Stacky. I'm not happy about it. But his crazy combination of instinct, of movement, of timing, I love it. I love him for Norway, and it makes me want to see this Norway side go deep because he is exactly the kind of footballer, the kind of baller that you want to see in as many World Cup games as possible.
The level that we've seen from the four that we've mentioned probably brings into stark contrast the level we have not seen from Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, no doubt one of the two players of his generation, if not all time. Why hasn't the Portuguese star reached the heights, Niamh?
It's such a great question, and one that I think is being asked within that setup as well as outside of it, because this is a Portuguese side with attacking creative talents galore. And what we've kind of seen at this World Cup, and it hurts me to say it, is Ronaldo, forget Deschamps being the handbrake, we've kind of seen Ronaldo being the handbrake within this setup, and that is such a difficult kind of thing to contemplate with a legend of the game. But some of those things that we've seen help him become that legend. We're also seeing him start to fade, that incredible pace that he's had, that pure speed, that's just not there anymore this tournament, Stacky. He's super conscious of his field position in this World Cup, whether Portugal have the ball, whether they lose it, because he's really aware that if the opposition break fast, he has nothing in those transition moments. And you see it even more starkly when his team breaks fast in transition and the edge player has to hold the ball up to give him time to get into the box. This is Portugal's all-time World Cup top scorer. His numbers, his stats are incredible. Interesting that he's only scored, his 10 World Cup goals have only come in the group stage. He's played 8 knockout games, I think, without a goal, and we're chatting ahead of this round of 32 clash with Croatia where he can absolutely make a liar of me. And I kind of hope he does, because the conversation around where he's at, what happens next, is such an intriguing one. In some ways, at this point, it feels like he's gone a World Cup too far.
Just want to drive into the why a little bit. Of the four that we talked about who are killing it, only one plays in the English Premier League, the best league on earth, but also the most grueling. That seems the obvious reason. The biggest stage, the biggest stars shining best makes sense, but hasn't always been the case at Football World Cups. Why do you think our absolute cream is rising on this occasion?
It's the million-dollar question, I reckon, Saki, and I don't know the answer to it. Are we seeing sides that are better able to feed their finishers than in the past, that are actually owning that, you know what, their best chance at goal? And I understand I say this about a French side as well, who have, you know, Ousmane Dembélé on that top goal scorers list as well. They got multiple different avenues to goal, but they certainly know how to get Kylian Mbappe on the end of an incredible opportunity. So is it something in the team setups and even the way Argentina set up in order to give Lionel Messi that best opportunity? I really love watching them play, how many players come short to surround the ball to really lean into that overload. Is that also giving Lionel Messi the best opportunity? I don't know, Stacky. I don't know what it is, because we had questions in the lead up to the World Cup about the leagues that some of these blokes are playing. I mean, Messi in the MLS and his form, he's still scoring goals there, but he has said in the lead up that that has enabled him to hit this tournament, having taken care of his body throughout the season in a way that he hasn't been able to in the past. The fact that he's been able to do that and yet still hit top form when it matters is wild in a way. It's not how you think it should work in the lead up. You know, the old, like, we play how we train, and you've got to be playing at the best leagues in the world every week in order to be able to hit a World Cup at the top of your game. I don't know, Stacky. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like fatigue is the thing. Has to be. Like, when you consider guys like Kane, who have previously limped into tournaments and in this instance seems to be in much better shape. I've got to get you to pick a lane for me, Nevo. Like, we're not anywhere near the conclusion of this tournament just yet. So play forecaster for me. Who do you think we're going to remember as owning this World Cup from an individual standpoint?
Oh, you have just heard me absolutely froth over each of those players and the form that we have seen from them so far. I love this French side. I think after winning it in 2018, the final in 2022, I reckon they're the one for me, so far from what we've seen, that goes all the way in 2026. So I'm going to fall in behind Kylian Mbappe, who I have just found such a joy to watch throughout the tournament so far. I find it hard to say, but I think there is enough creative attacking talent around him. They're doing enough. They're well balanced enough to go the distance. And perhaps some of those other teams are too reliant on that one superstar. We've talked about England and Harry Kane, even Erling Haaland in that round of 32 game. He hardly touched the ball in the first half hour. He was not the standout. He was almost a bit part player and then stands up in the 86th minute to win it for Norway. For me, if I absolutely have to, and I beg you just to edit this part out, I'm going to go Kylian Mbappe.
There you go. Neve Owens, the hardest working woman in show business. There's some sort of crazy alarm waiting for her before she has to watch more football, the poor thing. Nevo, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
It's such a delight, Stacky. I am loving every minute. Thanks for the chat.
headlines. As we mentioned, Kane rescued England against DR Congo after they trailed 1-0. The common narrative is that the English have to carry the weight of expectation. Here was manager Thomas Tuchel on that point.
I did not see any of that today. And it would be so easy to see it. It would be so easy. Oh, I mean, and it would be so easy to give in. And it would be so easy to accept that narrative. I didn't see any of that. And that is a very, very good sign.
Next up, Mexico at the Azteca at altitude. Ecuador barely slept because the Mexican fans were so noisy, holding a rolling party outside their hotel. Take a listen. You'd assume the Poms get the same treatment. Let's see how they cope. We've got to talk about Senegal v Belgium. The African nation led 2-0 looked to be cruising to the round of 16. Then out of nowhere, 2 goals in 3 minutes for the waffle enthusiasts. Romelu Lukaku in the 86th, Youri Tielemans in the 89th. Senegal, they continued to press and take the game to the Europeans, but just before extra time expired, the video referee picked out a penalty, ruling a Senegal defender had kicked a Belgian player, stopping him from making a play on the ball. As I say, penalty awarded, Tielemans won it for the Europeans after 132 minutes.
Tielemans, who won the penalty and will now take the penalty. One kick of the ball to surely decide a remarkable game. And he scores!
It represented the latest ever winner at a FIFA Men's World Cup. The Senegalese must have felt such a sense of injustice. This is the same nation who had the African Cup of Nations tournament stripped after winning the competition final against Morocco earlier this year. What an agonising way to exit the World Cup. Belgium will now next play the United States, who beat Bosnia and Herzegovina 2-0 in Santa Clara. Fowler and Balogun, he scored the opener for the Americans, then received a very dubious straight red card before a handy dead ball kick saw the Americans home. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup special produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SBS, Al Jazeera and the Associated Press for the extra audio used in this episode.